This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
What you need to know, that's the important thing when it comes to hurricanes. We've got a couple of experts this morning. It's all part of the Business Spotlight segment. Well, I tell you, you're done with Harvey, then you got Irma. The timing couldn't be better to have Gary Alexander in the studio from Belfour Property Restoration, one of the number one restoration companies, by the way, in the world. Also on the line with us is Kieran Batia, Princeton University. And we welcome Kieran to the airways. Kieran, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
There you go. Gary, great to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
And let's get Gary's mic going strong. Thank you so much. There is a big seminar. It's a breakfast seminar that'll take place in two weeks from tomorrow, actually, over at the Hilton Long Island in Huntington, right on Broad Hollow Road, from 8 to 12. What you need to know, reserve your seat. It is important. We'll tell you where to register and call and everything else. But Gary Alexander, you will be a panelist that morning. And it's all about being prepared, getting everybody up to speed. This is the season. We've seen this devastation in the last 10 days down in Texas. Hopefully won't see it, but maybe in Florida, who knows? But it's all about what you need to know right now.
That is correct. It's a horrible scenario, and our guys are, we've got probably a couple of thousand people down there working at the moment, and it grows as time goes on. There probably still are areas where we still can't even get into because of the flooding and debris on the roads, and sometimes the cities close off areas. It's very difficult.
Kieran Batia, these storms are coming fast and furious. You know, we had noted many weeks ago from the National Hurricane Center, this was going to be one heck of a season. They're right on the money so far, unfortunately. But these things are coming fierce now.
Yeah, it's been a tough season so far. And climatologically, this is the time of year when we get them. September, October, the busiest months of the hurricane season. So it's no surprise it's happened before. I mean, we've had some down, quiet years in the past 10 or 12 years, but if you go back in further history, you see storms coming at this rate during this time of year.
Dr. Batia, why so fierce? Why so furious this time around? Is it because we had a little bit of a lull in the action? People were kind of gearing up for this? Is it for stuff happening in the Atlantic, the Gulf, some other elements that we're not aware of? Why so fast and furious this time?
Well, it's very tough. There's no real consensus in the research right now in general about why, any detectable trends in hurricanes and climate change. In fact, it's something that is heavily researched, but there's only a very few couple issues that people agree on and that's actually changing. Right now, this is something we call, natural trends, or we call it internal variability. This is something that, if you go back in our historical records, we do have seasons and months and periods of time where you do have peak activity. There's also lots of lulls. And right now we have some consensus on a couple issues related to hurricanes and how the climate's changing, but we can't really say that this storm or that storm is caused by climate change at this point, just a change in probability, I guess you would say.
Pretty much. But Gary, your team down there right now in Texas, they're going through a lot. Boy, I tell you, the video and the stories, as horrific as one can see here, is there anything that this type of restoration company here cannot be prepared for? I mean, you've pretty much seen it all, but you're getting the reports and everything else from down there. It's amazing.
There is a lot of preparation that goes into it. But as my father used to say, the best laid plans of mice and men, it's a lot of it is kind of seat of the pants, because you really don't know what you're walking into until you walk into it. But that's the nature of our business, and that's how we operate, is people, when they're in need, depends on what they need, and you just provide whatever you can.
Amazing. You know, when you think about it, the water's up so high. There was even a report where the ground might have sank because of the weight of the water. That's something that, one, I guess, can assume could happen, right?
That could happen. The other thing that a lot of times that happens in these storms is a lot of times the water table rises and basements flood from the ground up, not from water coming in. And there's really no way to stop it. And you have to really just kind of wait for that to subside before you can really do very much.
And yesterday, we understand that in the Houston area, they opened up some of the reservoirs and everything else, correct?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
For the audience to understand this, why did that happen?
Because the reservoirs were just too full. They were afraid they were going to collapse. So they have to...
They had to let loose a little bit.
They had to loose a little bit. Yes, exactly.
Even if it caused more flooding, we understand there were some more displaced individuals based on that who couldn't understand why. But I'm glad you pointed that out. Dr. Patea, so in essence, you know, listen, these storms are coming fast. And in essence, you know, they start... Give the audience an idea, Doctor, how these storms kind of... You know, kind of get going, embryonic stages and whatnot, paths, that whole deal. What's the fuel here?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think everyone's kind of used to a nor'easter and a summer thunderstorm around here. We've all seen that. But actually, the driving force behind those disturbances are very different than tropical cyclones. Actually, with hurricanes like Irma and Harvey, they get all their energy from the ocean surface, and they get what we call, you know, the ocean heat energy has a special name called latent heat release, and that actually is the driver for a hurricane. And when they, you'll notice for the Atlantic that they all are starting over warm ocean basins. You know, they start over the Gulf of Mexico. They're off in the eastern Atlantic near Africa. And it takes just, you know, a little swirl of clouds. And what happens is that we have this natural physical kind of feedback, or the physics behind it is you have ocean evaporating, wind increasing, and it kind of feeds back on the ocean to cause more evaporation, and what you get are these storms. And it's very different than the nor'easters that we see, because those are really driven by what we call the temperature difference between the equator and the poles, whereas this is driven by the ocean heat energy. So it's a very kind of different beast, and it actually allows it to get much stronger than these nor'easters that we typically see during the winter.
Interesting. And I guess Harvey was so devastating. It was kind of a lingering type of storm, right, Doctor? Only because there wasn't a lot of wind. Once this thing hit the landfall area of Texas, it kind of stayed. And there wasn't a lot of wind driving it until it kind of went up the valley a bit into Tennessee, Ohio, that type of situation. But there wasn't a lot of wind. Therefore, it kind of stayed where it was and dumped all this rain.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of one of these, you know, I don't want to say perfect storm because it's, you know, it's an overused term, but it was a situation where there was a kind of stalled setup. There was a ridge over, these are all connected. There was a ridge over the western part of the country that was causing large amounts of heat waves up and down the coast. In the eastern part of the country, there was a bit of a stalled front over there. And as a result, hurricanes, I like to use as an analogy, is when you put a kind of stick in the water and you see a swirl develop, it's really, how is the flow of the water going to take that swirl? The swirl isn't really doing too much by itself to kind of navigate through the pond or the lake. And that's how hurricanes are. It's, you know, the steering flow, if the pond, the lake, that is the atmosphere, is not pushing this thing, it's just going to hang out and camp out in certain areas. And what we had is it's really a weather setup that kind of was a very, very unlucky and is very rare. But, you know, that's the way weather works. You can have these kind of interesting situations. And obviously, you know, Houston dealt with the brunt of the impacts because of it.
Thus, the one in 500, and then I think they actually moved it up to one every 1,000 years type of storm. So you can see the damage here. Gary, you're prepared for anything. We heard alligators, moccasin snakes, fire ants.
That's right.
Unfortunately, you had down wires. People couldn't see. One kid electrocuted that. I mean, you've got to be prepared for anything here.
That is correct. And that's why you have to be prepared for anything, because you really just don't know what you're going to walk into. We start preparing for these things as soon as we hear them coming. The problem is you only have a week or so to prepare for it, and you're trying to move thousands of people to a particular area. It's a lot of logistics go into it, and we will move people from as a storm track is announced. Yeah. We'll move resources to wherever the storm is. So as soon as it hits, we're kind of ready to go.
I mean, it was a tough area too, because you had all these small towns: Rockport, Houston, western portions of Houston. You kind of have to know in advance the path of this thing in order to get the crews in place, correct?
You do. And one of the other interesting things is trying to find a place for everybody to stay at, because you have a couple of thousand people that you have to put up, and it's hard to find. Sometimes we'll build tent cities to house people because there's just no other way of doing it. Or we'll take a hotel and it's damaged and we'll fix it so that, and have an agreement with the hotel that we can stay there while we're working. In fact, one time we actually leased a cruise ship to house our people because it was just easier to get on and off and get to the areas where we had to work.
I remember years ago we had a system here on Long Island. It was like 8 days of rain. I'll never forget it.
Yes,
I was away.
I came
back to a flooded basement. I didn't have flood insurance. You know, a lot of people didn't have flood insurance around here. 85% of homeowners down in that area in Texas apparently are non-flood homeowners, non-flood insurance homeowners. What do they do?
That's a problem.
What do they do? I can't even imagine.
Well, I know FEMA and organizations like that help them out at some point, but that's not enough to get them whole. They're really on their own. That's a problem. People don't have flood insurance, and especially in some of these areas, like when we had that 8-day storm here, areas got flooded that you would never think would get flooded. And so why would you have flood insurance? But
exactly.
It's a problem.
It is a problem. Is it a problem, Dr. Patia? We're talking with Dr. Kieran Patia from Princeton University. You know, we talk about climate change and everything else, and people blow it off left and right. And then we get a guy like Al Gore who throws a documentary into place, and really, you know, one has to pay attention here. I guess one really has to pay attention just to kind of view what is happening on our planet right now as far as the fierceness of these type of storms, Doctor.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I brought it up a little earlier, but One of the issues that there is a consensus on is that, and we have a nice kind of physical mathematical relationship for, is the fact that with temperature change that we have observed across the globe, we do have increased likelihood of high precipitation or high rainfall events, and we have a nice relationship there. Of course, I didn't tie it to Harvey yet, because for that relationship to take place, you need some kind of disturbance. You need a hurricane. But once you have a rain event, once you have a thunderstorm, because of how the atmosphere is warming, there is a higher probability for more extreme rainfall. And we've kind of seen that in the recent decades, that the frequency of these high intensity rainfall events have increased. So that's something that we are in as scientists are in general agreement. We do see that these events are happening more frequently. And I'll just add one more thing,
yeah,
and that it pertains to hurricanes, is that we see that with hurricanes making landfall, we've already observed in areas like Louisiana close to 9 inches, 12 inches of sea level rise over the last 50 years, 70 years, 80 years. And as a result, even if, you know, let's say the storms don't get worse, they stay the same, those areas are going to be at risk that never were at risk, because 8 inches of water, you know, that's going to put new people and new residents at risk when these storm events happen, these storm surge events, and flooding is going to be more frequent for the coastal areas, even if the storms don't change in intensity.
No question. Gary, when you look at 52 inches, nearly 52 inches of rain, that's something you have never seen before. No one's seen it.
No, it's mind-boggling.
So when you talk about restoration and everything else, this is a whole new game for you.
Oh, it absolutely is. But again, you can't repair a building until the floodwaters go down,
right?
Because you can't get to it. So in a sense, it's kind of all the same, if that makes any sense to you.
And let's face it, communication is key here. And,
yes.
And it seems everybody at least has those lines completely open in a really good way down in Texas. I mean, let's face it, you cannot get through this without the proper communication.
No, and you know, all communication kind of stops because cell towers are down, electricity's down. That's why we use satellite phones, and also we can communicate with everybody. But it's communication is key.
It is unbelievable, and of course, law enforcement has been spectacular down there. It's amazing how everybody kind of comes together. You know, the pictures, the nursing homes. That picture that we saw right in the beginning of a woman who, I guess with the water up to her knees, was still doing her knitting and whatnot. But it gives you an idea of the sense how everybody kind of chipped in, came together, Dollars so important here. You look at the dollars, Gary Alexander, coming into play here. I mean, everybody kind of making their way and fundraising and celebrities and the teams down in that area really getting up to speed as far as getting these dollars in.
Yeah, and this storm may be the most expensive one that we've ever experienced.
No question about it. We are talking with Gary Alexander. He from Belfour Restoration. Now, keep in mind, there is a big seminar, very important seminar that will take place 2 weeks from tomorrow at the Hilton on Long Island, right on Broad Hollow, 8 to 12. If you want to reserve your seat, now remember, it's limited. Seating is limited here. To register, you can call 631-964-8900, 964-8900, extension 185. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow, 8 to 12. Dr. Patel, I'll ask you this. We got Irma right here in sight. It's going right through the islands. You see the path. Who knows? Florida might be in line. It might maybe take a turn for the north here. As you see it this morning at around the 6 minutes of 8 o'clock, where do you see this storm hitting? Is it going to hit the continental U.S.?
So I always like to remind people with these forecasts is that the first 72 hours, we are doing a lot better job as forecasters and as scientists. And we've gotten those errors down to within about 80 to 100 miles for track forecast. But as you go out to 5 days, which is currently where Florida is located in this track, this proposed track, those forecast errors double. So when I'm talking about risk right now, and if we have to talk preparation and you need more than 96 hours, then we can start to talk about the most likely scenario, which is the likeliest scenario right now is for Irma to go a little bit south of Florida and then make a turn right around the area between Cuba and Florida. And that's what the models are saying right now, but that's 5 days in advance. And that's, and you know, we have to say the errors at that point around 200 miles. So that's when you have to kind of take into account that it's a probability.
Yeah.
What is the percentage likelihood of it happening? And there is a very likely scenario of it affecting Florida, but I would say it's just likely at this point. The very likely scenario and the people that need to be concerned is areas like Puerto Rico, the Leeward Islands,
Cuba,
Bahamas, and Cuba.
Yep.
Those are the areas that right now you would say you need to start making preparations immediately. And once, if you come to me tomorrow around 3 o'clock, you'll have a new set of model runs at that time. And I could say with a little bit more likelihood that this part of the East Coast, this part of the Gulf Coast will be affected. So at this point, you know, if it splits the gap between Florida and Cuba and continues into the Gulf of Mexico, then we're going to start talking about, okay, is Louisiana going to be affected? Is Alabama, is Mississippi, or all these Gulf states. So, you know, it's something to monitor. It's something to be concerned about. But at this point, you have to say it's likely to affect Florida, but
right,
it's not a certainty by no means.
And we'll tell you this, and we just got this word in, Dr. Patea, that officials across the northeastern portion of the Caribbean have already canceled flights, shuttered schools, urging people to hunker down indoors. Hurricane Irma barreling towards that region right now. It is a powerful Category 5,
ouch,
and you have 175-mile-an-hour winds. We'll keep an eye on this. We just got this word, and so incredible stuff. Timing cannot be better, and I'm sure Gary Alexander's sights already set possibly on the next storm. I know a lot of stuff in Texas, but you, like you said, it's always staying ahead of the game.
That you do it as best you can, and yes, we're already talking about it.
Incredible stuff. Cannot thank you both. Dr. Patea, great job. Can't thank you enough. We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Yep, I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Gary, we'll tell everybody, we'll keep reminding people to reserve the seat. Belfour Property Restoration, one of the best on the planet. They're down in Texas now, could be high in Florida, who knows. But if you want to reserve your seat regarding disaster preparedness, great category, especially this time of the year. You can call 631-964-8900, 964-8900. Extension 185. Dr. Patea, Gary, great meeting you.
Thank you very much.
Good
Thank
stuff.
Much.
We'll keep
Thank
an eye
time.
On this.